Thank you, Jesus, that you are always, always, always good to us, that you just desire the best for us, that your goodness showers us every morning, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, that if there's one thing we can count on, it is that you will always, always love us, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us,
Amen.
That you will never leave us to our own devices. Thank you, Lord, that through the work of Jesus, through faith in the cross of Christ, we are joined with God in unity, that your Spirit dwells within us, lives within us, that our bodies are the temples of God, living temples of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about safety for the insecure. So to start it off, I thought that I'll show us a little video clip. The video clip is about a young man who rescued a hummingbird. A hummingbird is a sakerbakkie. So he rescued this hummingbird, and the video will show you what happens. We're going to be talking about safety for the insecure. Do you think that little hummingbird felt secure? Why? Why do you think he felt secure? Anyone?
Because he was
up.
Eh? He was left. He wasn't clapped around.
Indeed, he wasn't clapped around, he was loved. Yeah, he was loved. He was taken care of, all his needs were met by that young man who looked after him. If you read his story, he says that eventually he released the bird, left on its own. But it migrates, and every summer it comes back to the garden, to the house where he took care of it. And then every winter it leaves again and comes back. So it's a good story. Yeah, he was loved unconditionally. He was taken care of. All his needs were met. If we just look at the world around us, everything that happens around us can cause us to feel insecure. If you look at the unemployment stats in South Africa, that can cause insecurity. People lose their jobs. People are unhappy in their jobs. If you look at what's happening in the world, unrest, wars, threat of wars. So everything in the world that happens around us is geared towards making us feel insecure. But in the midst of that, this world that we live in, we can find security, and we can find that security in God. Now, if our faith is based on law, through what we do, we want to ensure that we have security. For example, when I was in the law, I tithed every month, and I thought that that would give me security. The thing that I do buys me security. And I thought because I was tithing, I was deserving, I was favored, I was deserving of financial blessing, that God would take care of me because I tithed. Not because of who God is, but because of what I do. And that is sometimes where we find ourselves. And if I base my security on what I do, I'm building on sand. I'm not building on the rock of Jesus Christ. But if I base my security on who God is, I'm building my house upon a rock, and nothing can move me from this rock, because my security is built on Jesus Christ, built on the unconditional love of God, built on the character of God, and not on what I do, not on my ability. If I want to build my security on my ability, that's just plain stupid. But that's what we want to do. We want to take out an insurance policy that will secure my future, that will secure my blessing. When we came into grace, and I started believing that I don't have to tithe to be blessed, it was like a security blanket that was ripped out from under me. And all of a sudden I had to start trusting in God to take care of me, not in my ability to ensure my security, but in the ability of God to ensure my security. If you read about, let's switch this on first. If you read about insecurity, there's lots of things written about insecurity. It says that insecurity grows from the sense of being rejected, not being good enough. It grows from comparison with others, thinking that no one likes me. It leads to isolation and withdrawal, no confidence in my own value, and fears that the present positive state is temporary, that things will go wrong in the future, and people are troubled by guilt. How often do we grow up, even in our childhood, do we feel rejected? We feel that we're not good enough. We become isolated when we feel rejected. We compare ourselves to others and we feel that we're not good enough. And we withdraw from society. We even withdraw from God. Because the law, if we compare ourselves to the law, to the Ten Commandments, we cannot measure up to that. Compare ourselves to this law that was written down, and we see that we can't measure up, and we withdraw from God because we can't measure up to the requirements of the law. All of that causes insecurity because I see myself as not being good enough in the eyes of God, thinking that God doesn't approve of me, that He's unhappy with me, and I isolate myself from the very one who loves me unconditionally. That's what happens to people. People ask themselves the questions, is it okay to be me? Can I make it in the world? Who can I trust? Is there meaning to my life? And when we come to God, when we come to the unconditional love of God, we find that it is okay to be me. That I can make it in this world because the God of the universe is with me. He's for me, He's not against me, He accepts me unconditionally. He doesn't reject me. And then they say emotional insecurity is merely a difference in awareness. It depends on your perspective. And that's why it is so important what we believe. Do we believe that God is happy with me, that He is content with me, that I find favor with God because of Jesus and not because of what I do? If I start believing that, I become emotionally secure in the presence, in the unconditional love of God. But if I believe that I continually have to measure up to some written requirements, that my security, my acceptance is based on what I do, I'm emotionally insecure because I can never measure up to the requirements of the law that was written down. Leviticus 25, verse 18 says, wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. Now, when we deal with God and we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know that it doesn't depend on what I do, but what I believe. Do I believe the truth about the work of Jesus Christ, or do I reject it? Based on what I believe, I find security and acceptance with God, never on what I do. So if this verse says, wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety, there's something that we need to understand about this verse. And at the end, we'll get to explaining what this verse is saying so that we can understand precisely what God requires from us. The word safety in that scripture means a place of refuge, security, to feel safe, to have assurance and boldness, to be without care, literally to be careless, to be confident, to have hope. So God says if we shall obey Him, we shall find ourselves in a state where we feel secure, where we will literally be without care, live a life careless, because we have confidence, we have hope in who He is. That is the state that God desires for us. Security is provided by a non-threatening, supportive environment, an environment of unconditional love. That is what we saw in the beginning with that video clip. With God, we find ourselves in an environment where He never threatens us, where He always supports us, no matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we think we've done wrong. God will always support us, and He will always love us unconditionally. Ezekiel 34, verse 4. The diseased, which is the weak, the sick, the afflicted, have you not strengthened? Strengthened means to fasten upon, to cure. Neither have you healed, to mend, to make whole, that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again, which means to rescue, to restore, to retrieve, that which was driven away. Driven away means to banish, to cast down. Neither have you sought to search out that which was lost, to wander away, to lose oneself, but were forced to rush or to drive, to do violence, and with cruelty to break apart, have you ruled, that means to tread down, them. This is God prophesying against the shepherds that were supposed to look after the sheep. The Ezekiel 34 starts by saying to Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds, the very people who were supposed to look after the sheep, the people of God, tore them apart. They looked at people who needed to be strengthened, who needed to be healed, who needed to be bound up, who needed to be rescued, who needed to be sought, searched out. But they did the opposite of what God expected them to do. And that is the very place that a lot of people find themselves in today. If you go into many churches today, the message that is preached to people is a message that tears people apart. It's a message that makes people feel not good enough. It's a message that makes people feel insecure. It's a message that makes people think they have to do something to be accepted by God. And they walk out the doors feeling not good enough, feeling insecure. And Ezekiel 34 is written against people who are supposed to gather the flock of God into a place of safety, of security, but are doing exactly the opposite. So God looked at the situation that His people found themselves in, where violence was being done to them through the requirements of law that Adam had implemented. And He knew He had to do something about it. Ezekiel 34 verse 5. And they were scattered to dash in pieces, to cast abroad, because there is no shepherd. A shepherd is someone who associates with you as a friend. So when Jesus says He is the shepherd of the sheep, He is the one who associates with us as a friend. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered to go astray, to be deceived through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And the very situation that people find themselves in today, where they have been torn apart, scattered abroad, living a life of insecurity, not safe within the arms, within the fold, within the care of God. And then if we read Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. For thus, returning to Ezekiel 34 verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, which is to rest, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. So Jesus came into the very place where people found themselves, scattered abroad, broken, torn apart, feeling insecure, feeling unloved, feeling unhappy, feeling depressed. Jesus came into that very place where man found himself because no one else could do anything about the situation of man except God himself. That's why God says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." So here we have a God who became a shepherd to the sheep, that he associated with the sheep to the point where he became their friend. That is the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that loves us. He first loved us when we were still scattered abroad, when we were the enemies of God. He came to us. He searched us out. And if you read Ezekiel 34, you can see God bringing his sheep into a place of safety, into a place of security. So every single day when I wake up, where do I find myself? In a place of security, in the care of God. As that young man took care of that hummingbird, that's the way that God takes care of me. He takes care of my every need. No matter if I find myself in a place where I've lost my job, where everything that I build my security on has been torn apart, taken away from me, I still stand secure because I stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. I stand in a place where God takes care of me, and that is all I need. No matter what happens in my life, I stand secure, knowing who God is and knowing that He will love me unconditionally forever. That's the place where I find myself in because Jesus paid with His life to bring me into a place where I can stand secure. And I reject every word that wants to make me feel insecure. Because if we think about where is the power of God? The power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we preach the correct gospel to people, it releases the power of God. And people start believing in the goodness, in the unconditional love of God based upon the message that we preach, that we testify to people every single day. And the word that we speak to them resonates with the word that the Holy Spirit is speaking in their hearts, and faith rises up within them. And people who are insecure are brought into a place where they are secure in the love of God. The power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." And that is what we do. We proclaim the correct gospel to people. The shepherds who preach a message to people, that to the sheep, that makes them feel not good enough, they're preaching a message that is in direct opposition to the word that the Holy Spirit is speaking in the hearts of people. A message of condemnation, a message of not being good enough, doesn't resonate in the hearts of people when the Holy Spirit is speaking directly the opposite. So if we speak a message of the unconditional love of God, it resonates in their hearts to the word that the Holy Spirit is already speaking to them. And faith rises up within people. And I do not have to convince people by clever arguments or trying to state some fact to persuade them to believe. No, they believe. Because it resonates in their heart to the voice of the Spirit speaking to them. And those who reject, like Bertie preached last year, I think, those who reject this message have already rejected the voice of the Spirit speaking in their hearts. They've already rejected God. Matthew 18, Jesus speaking. How think ye, Matthew 18:12, how think you, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Again, the heart of God, the effort that God would go to reach one person who has gone astray. And there we see the heart of God, that God would go to such great lengths to find just one person and bring that person back into a place of security. The love of God. Zephaniah 3 verse 17. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflicts you, and I will save. It means to be free, to be safe. Her that halts, which means to limp. And gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame, which means honor, authority, in every land where they have been put to shame. Because what causes insecurity is we feel ashamed. We feel guilty about our past, about what we did yesterday, what we think, what we didn't do, and we feel shame. But God says, in the place of shame, he will give us praise and fame, which means honor and authority. God doesn't think about any shameful thing that we've done, any shameful thing that we haven't done. When he sees us as beings that he showers with praise and with fame, with authority. The very authority that his son has is given to us for free. So we do not think of our guilt, of our shame, we think of what God has given us for free. He will rest in his love. He rests in his love that he has for us. And if God rests in the love that he has for us, we can rest in the love that he has for us. So we come to rest in a place where we know that God loves us, where he will always care for us. No matter what happens, God will take care of us. No matter what happens, God will take care of us. Back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34 verse 23. Talking of Jesus. And I will set up one shepherd, who is Jesus, over them. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. Speaking of Jesus. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Again, that word safely is a place of refuge, a place of security where I can feel safe, to have assurance and boldness, to be without care, to be careless, to be confident, to have hope. So with boldness, I can come to God with everything that I need. Every doubt, every fear, everything I need, I approach God with boldness, with full assurance of faith that he is the one who takes care of me, that he is the one who loves me, that he will never leave me, that he will never forsake me, that he will never reject me, that he will never show me the door, that he will never kick me out of the door. I have full assurance when I approach God. I have boldness because he is my Father that loves me unconditionally. What's very interesting, if you read verse 25, it says, they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Because where do we find ourselves today? This planet that we live upon is like a wilderness. It's like a wood. But yet, in the midst of everything that happens around us, what do? We live safely. We live in rest, in the care of God. That is the guarantee that we have, that in the midst of everything that happens around us, we can dwell securely and safely, resting in the love of God. Even in the situation where we are, we find security in God, who cares for us. Going back to Leviticus 25, which we saw in the beginning, Leviticus 25, what I did was, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I summarized it and summarized all the highlights of every verse. which will just accentuate what we've said already, which is amazing if you look at Leviticus 25. Verse 2 speaks of a Sabbath. Verse 3 says, if you read Leviticus 25, you will find the Aleph Tav throughout that whole chapter. For those of you who don't know what the Aleph Tav is, if you have Esword and you read the King James with a Strong's numbers in the Old Testament, you will find a Hebrew character that's labeled Hebrew 853. That Hebrew character speaks prophetically of Jesus Christ. It's a Hebrew character that cannot be translated in English, so it was never translated in English. It is the Hebrew character Aleph Tav, Aleph being the first character of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav being the last character of the Hebrew alphabet. In Greek, it's Alpha and Omega. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The picture value of Aleph is an ox. The picture value of Tav is a cross. The ox upon the cross, the sacrifice upon the cross. Speaking of Jesus, if you read the definition of that word, it says it's a sign, an omen. An omen is a sign of some future event. That when they were writing the Old Testament, that future event was Jesus Christ. So everywhere in the Old Testament, if you read King James with a Strong's numbers in it, it'll help you to understand what the Old Testament is saying. Because Jesus said, all the law and the prophets speak of me. So if you read the Old Testament, it's speaking of Jesus. It's not telling us what we need to do. It's saying what Jesus came to do. All the law and the prophets speak of Jesus Christ. So it says, gather in Aleph Tav, who is Jesus, the fruit, in verse 3. The seventh year shall be a Sabbath where there should be no work. Verse 5, Jesus will grow spontaneously. There will be no work, there will be rest. And the Sabbath will be meat or food for the people. So the whole opening section of Leviticus 25 talks about entering into a place of rest. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath is the completed, finished work of Jesus Christ. I enter into that place, I rest from any labor that I have to do to be accepted by God, that I have to do to be blessed, that I have to do to be righteous, that I have to do to ensure my security. I rest in a completed, finished work of Jesus Christ. And it says, verse 3, gather in Jesus, who is the fruit. Jesus was sown in the earth. As I believe in his completed work, I reap the benefits of the work that he has done. And the fruit of the Spirit manifests through me and in me as I believe in the work of Jesus, as I rest in his completed work. And as I rest in his work, that will be the food that sustains me. Jesus said, I am the living bread. If you eat of me, you will never be hungry again. That is the opening section of Leviticus 25. Verse 8 talks about 7 times 7. For after 49 years, you will blow the trumpet of Jubilee. Jubilee speaks of joy, rejoicing, and triumph. You will hallow Jesus, who is the 50th year. In that year, you will proclaim liberty and the return to possessions and family. There will be no sowing or reaping. The Jubilee is holy. You will eat Jesus, who is the increase. You will return to your possession, and there will be no oppression. People will not be treated violently. So what this is saying, a perfect number, 7 is a perfect number. 7 times 7, 49 years. After 49 years, you will blow the trumpet of Jubilee, which is a sign of joy, rejoicing, and triumph. In the 50th year is the Jubilee. 50 speaks of grace. 5 is the number of grace. 50 speaks of grace. In that 50th year, you will have a year of Jubilee. Jubilee speaks of the benefits that we have because of the work of Jesus Christ. And where do we find ourselves now? We find ourselves living in the year of Jubilee. A perpetual year of Jubilee, because the joy, the rejoicing, and the triumph that we have because of the work of Jesus Christ is never ending. It will never end. We are living in the year of Jubilee, and we will pass from this life into an eternity where it will just continue, where we will reap the benefits of what Jesus had done. And I have security that even this body will be rebirthed into an indestructible, everlasting body. When this body dies, when it decays, it will be raised up into everlasting life. I even have that security. I'm secure in the work of Jesus. There will be no sowing or reaping. No work to try and obtain blessing for yourself. No work to try and obtain the favor of God, because we have it for free. Verse 10, you will proclaim liberty. There will be a return to possessions and family. That which was stolen from man, the right to the quality of God's life manifesting in us, was stolen from us. That is given back to us. Everything that Jesus has belongs to me. Immortality, holiness, acceptance, unconditional love, a place in the heavens, seated in the Godhead. That was my right, that was taken from me, and that is returned to me in the year of Jubilee. My possessions are returned to me, and I return to my family, the family of God. I find acceptance in God, who is my Father. That is the place where I find myself in. There will be no oppression. People will not be treated violently. The law, the requirements of law, treats people violently. Mm-hmm. Either you do it or you die. Mm-hmm. That is violence. Mm. And today from from pulpits, violence is preached to people. You do this law or you die. Mm. You do this law, you're not accepted by God. You work hard to be accepted by God, or you will not be accepted by God. Preaching to people that God will punish them, that is violence. Mm-hmm. It's doing violence to the sheep that God has worked hard for to gather together. Verse 20, the people ask, but what shall we eat? And God says, I will command Jesus, Aleph Tav, who is my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth Jesus, who is fruit, and you shall sow Jesus. So everything in Leviticus talks of Jesus Christ. All the law and the prophets speak of Jesus Christ. That is a fact. So, people are saying, but what shall we eat if we're not supposed to sow and reap? I'm not saying, don't go work. That's not what I'm saying. People are saying, but God is the one who takes care of us. Sorry, Dieter. But people, yeah, a question of insecurity arises. But what shall we eat if we're not supposed to sow or reap? And then God says, but I will sow Jesus in the sixth year, in the year of my work, and he's the fruit that will rise up out of the land. And you shall eat Jesus, who has been sown in the land, and he will be the fruit that you devour, that feeds you, that nourishes you, Jesus Christ. Verse 17, there will be no oppression. People will not oppress each other, but all will fear God. To fear God is not to add anything to the work of Jesus Christ. If I say I believe in Jesus, but I will tithe to be blessed, I'm not fearing God. Because to fear God is to know that I cannot add anything to the work of Jesus that he has done to secure my future. Verse 18. Now this is the verse we had in the beginning. If you read it, it says, do Aleph Tav, who is Jesus, my statutes, and keep my judgments and do them, and then you shall dwell in safety. So as I do Jesus, do Aleph Tav, do Jesus, who is the commandment of God, as I believe in the completed, finished work of Jesus, as I accept the work that he has done on my behalf, and I see it as my own, and I know that everything that he has belongs to me, I do Jesus, and I will dwell in safety and in security. And the moment that I want to add anything to the work of Jesus to secure my own blessing, I will walk into insecurity. Verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever. No one can take away from us what Jesus has done. It cannot be taken away. It will not be sold as merchandise into slavery. It shall not be given over to death. For the land is mine, says the Lord. The Lord says, this belongs to me. The work that Jesus has done is my work. Who can take it away? Who can sell it? Who can destroy it? It's indestructible. I stand upon the rock of the work of Jesus Christ. And then Just listen, see this last part of verse 23. God says, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. So in this world that we live in, we are strangers and travelers. We are traveling through this world into eternity. But as we travel through this world, finding ourselves in this strange and curious place, what do I find? God is traveling with me. And that is my security. In everyday life, in everyday living, as I travel through this place as a stranger, God is with me. And that is my security. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that our security is you. That our security is not what I do, but what you have done. Thank you, Lord, that we can find ourselves in a place where we are 100% secure, because we know that you love us unconditionally. And we accept your love, we accept the work that you have done on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for your precious people, the sheep of your pasture, the people that you have searched out, that you have brought into your fold. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here, that you take care of them, that you speak peace to them, that I know that their feet are upon a rock, the rock of God Himself. That you accept them unconditionally, that you love them unconditionally, that you will never reject them, that you will never kick them out, that you will always take care of them. Thank you, Lord, no matter what happens, we are safe in the arms of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Sorry? Which one?
First one.
Okay. That one.
Sometimes people think to do Jesus is to copy Him.
To do Jesus is to believe in His work and to accept it for myself. That is what it means to do Jesus. I don't copy what He's done, I believe in what He's done.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen.
It's all much too easy.
Yeah, that's the problem there.
That's the problem with us.
I
can't understand
the difference.
I just want to say that insecurity is actually also the opposite of no confidence in own value. It's actually also too much confidence in own.
Exactly.
Yeah. Insecurity.
Exactly.
The opposite,
yeah,
on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Because insecurity can manifest as arrogance. Exactly.
It does, eh? That's the mask.
And then it's arrogance to say that I will secure my own security.
Exactly.
By tithing, by doing anything, I will gain acceptance. That's arrogance. It's correct. Thank you.